Hello, this is Victoria with Hope Service Dogs, located in Central Florida, where we breed, raise, and train the best Golden Retriever service dogs, focusing on health, temperament, and starting their training early. We do a lot with dysautonomia and POTS, and we do a lot with started service dogs as well. And today we're going to talk about service dog adventures. We used to do service dog meetups, and we'd get together and meet in different areas, and COVID came, and a lot of that was ground to a halt, but we started it back up. We have a fantastic team, and this took the whole team. The whole crew was involved with it, which was pretty awesome. It happened yesterday in Orlando, and we had advertised it for a couple weeks. Not heavy advertising, but, you know, it was up there. We had a number of people who RSVP'd. I think we had about 30 RSVP and about 20 showed up. Over 20 showed up. So I was very happy about that. I was expecting about half. So it was better than I anticipated. And we met at the mall at Millennia, which is a nice indoor mall that we do a lot of our training in, you know, through Hope with the puppies that we have in and all. So we met up there, and it was open to Hope dogs and not Hope dogs. So it was open to all dogs, service dog in training or service dog. It was not open to pets. It was not open to therapy dogs. It was not open to emotional support dogs. It's only service dogs in training and service dogs. But it went fantastic. We have some things that we're going to do a little different next time to see how it goes. But our goal is for these to become monthly service dog meetups. But we're going to call them service dogs adventures because that sounds way more fun. We started with, you know, saying hi to whomever was there. We got there about 11 to start at 11:30. And we started on time. I'm a stickler for starting on time. So we started on time with an intro and thanking, you know, everyone for attending. Now, while we were arriving, mall security did come up to us. Apparently, they've come up to us in the past while we've been there. Rich has talked to them before and Sam's talked to them before. I have not talked to them before, but they wanted to, you know, just say hey. And, you know, they didn't give us any problem whatsoever. They were very welcoming. Then they passed us by a couple times while we were there. I think they wanted to see the dogs. And my thought is having a team of trainers there. And then not only us, so we had five of our team there, but we had other professional trainers who came with their dogs or with client dogs, which was pretty awesome that was something that happened, because maybe they can bring service dog adventures to their communities as well. The service dog community, the disabled community, it can be very isolating. It can feel very isolating. You know, whenever you have friends and you go out and you do things, that's pretty awesome. But what happens whenever you're low on spoons and you just can't? You know, the friends that have invited you sometimes get tired of inviting you and you standing them up, and they think it's them and it's not them. It's just that you cannot today. You know, you're having a bad day and it's just not happening. And they don't know how to act with the new you, right? So it can feel very isolating in the disabled community. In the service dog community, can be toxic. You know, I'm going to be blunt with you guys. It can be toxic. And that's why I limit my involvement in the service dog community. And it's mostly my Facebook groups. I don't think I'm on a professional service dog trainer Facebook group, but I think that's the only one outside of my Facebook groups that I'm a part of on Facebook. And I don't follow a lot of the handlers and the handler trainers and such, because it seems to just get into a bitch fest quite often. And I don't care for that as much. I want to help people. You know, during COVID, we were doing a lot of video training sessions because we couldn't do our group classes. And as worried as everyone was, especially in the beginning stages of COVID, you know, I felt it was our duty to, you know, keep the dog training going and to keep the instruction happening, even if people couldn't come to us. So, you know, we did put a lot of content out. You could probably still find it if you look back on our Facebook lives, but it would be under the Heart and Soul Dog Training, I think. I don't know if it was under Hope Service Dogs or if it was under Heart and Soul Dog Training or if it was under Dream Dogs. It all depends on when it was. But anyway, rolling back to yesterday, to how that went. So yeah, so we had brought little bags of treats, just in case people needed it. James and Tara were there, two of our trainers, and they brought, they had put the bags together and attached their business cards to them. So then if people had questions, they had contact information already and could reach out to James and Tara with that, those questions that they had. We got started, introduced ourselves, excuse me, what we were doing there and how it was going to work was, we were going to do a little bit of training first to make sure the dogs are in the right headspace and that the owners and the handlers were in the right headspace. And as the training was going well, we were going to do a walkabout through the mall, do a group photo, and then come back to the food court. They could potty their dog. And then, you know, if they wanted to grab lunch, they could. And I always recommend, you know, having that lunch with your new friend that you made, you know, so like make a new friend who also happens to have a service dog. But then it was free, you know, then they'd have free time. So if they wanted to go shopping or what have you, you know, there was time for that as well. And we started with how we go about our mall trips. So that's what this episode's about, is about our service dog adventure and about how we do mall trips. So first, we always come prepared. So we have cleanup kits, and that includes quart and gallon size Ziploc baggies to contain the odor if needed. We have plastic, like grocery store or Walmart bags, you know, that you can put in your little trash can in your bathroom, or you can tie up and, you know, after you pick up the poo. We do have poo bags for if they potty outside, but the cleanup kit also has, we could do like a small thing of Odoban or a small thing of water in there. We'll often have a bottle of water that we can use to help clean up. We'll have wipes, either like baby wipes or Lysol disinfecting wipes. Gloves. Gloves are nice, especially whenever they make big messes. Paper towels. And we have little, I guess you'd call them bar cleanup towels. Cleanup bar towel things. But we have them. We have cleanup kits at our house, you know, with all the puppies and all. So, you know, we just put some of the bar towels in our cleanup kit bag. So we had that. We have water for the dogs. We have the little water bowls, the silicone water bowls that we can pop open. We had booties for our dogs, a brush and a comb, you know, in case you get there and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, my dog has a mat, or, you know, this needs brushed out, or my dog just rolled in wet mulch and it's sticking to him now, so I need to get that off of him. So we came prepared, and so we had that. But how we start the outing is the dogs potty before we go in. Well, we give them the opportunity to potty every time before we enter. And after we exit an outing, a building, we give them an opportunity to go to the bathroom. And sometimes if it's a longer excursion, they'll get potty time during also. So if we sit down and we have lunch, then we take them out and potty, that we can come back in and go shopping again. Okay, even if we just got there, you know, they pottied, we go in, we order our lunch, we sit down, we eat. When we're done with that, we still go and potty the dog again before we continue with the training or with the outing, because when you sit down like that often, you know, if your dog falls asleep and gets up, they might have to go potty. So we want to set the dog up for success as much as possible. Our goal with every outing, with every training session, during the session and after, is for the dog to earn an A or an A+. If you're going to score the dog, which in turn scores yourself, that dog should be earning an A. And if the dog is not earning an A, What can we do? What can we change to set your dog up for success so your dog earns that A? If you take your dog on an outing or do a training session with your dog and your dog is failing at it or even coming in meh with a C, right? Or a D or an F, right? You don't want that. A B, you could be like, oh, I'm happy with the B. Well, yeah, but why not an A? You know, we'll be those parents. So how can we change things up so your dog earns that A? And that might be that we go someplace, for example, at the mall, it might be we go farther away from the other dogs. We go someplace less distracting because there's so many people there. Maybe we use a higher value reward. Now, you can't go bouncing a ball across the mall and let your dog chase it, right? But you could. We always have little stuffy toys. I have a whole treasure box of stuffy toys in the office while we're training the puppies because they're small. They're maybe the size of your palm. And they're nice toys for the puppies. You know, it's puppy-sized toys. And they fit in our fanny packs really well. And we made sure our fanny packs were stocked with Target stick and clicker and poo bags and food, including not just kibble, but kibble along with some higher value. You know, when your dog's eating the dehydrated raw food that we feed, kibble isn't as as it could be if they were just eating kibble. So we understand that. And we also have looked at the ingredients in a lot of treats and a lot of dog foods. And sometimes it's made with really poor ingredients. You know, sugar can be high on the list of ingredients for dog food and for treats. And you have to ask yourself, why is there sugar in these treats? They're for the dogs. Why are we giving the dogs all this sugar? So we'll add in the Stella and Chewy's toppers. They look like little tater tots. We'll add in freeze-dried liver or freeze-dried lamb lung or freeze-dried chicken or dehydrated food. So we'll add some of those in with ours. Maybe some real meat. Happy Howie's has rolled food. So we bought a whole bunch of the turkey rolls and we'll sit and we'll dice those up a few times a week for the dogs. Mix it all together in your bag and it's kind of like trail mix then. And whatever you pull out, you know, the dog can have some. And it works out nicely. You know, they don't know what all they're getting, but they're getting a variety of food. And if they're doing really good, they can get a little handful. If they're doing meh, you might want to find that kibble for them. But we want to grade it. So what can we do to set the dog up for success? What can we do to set it up for the dog to get an A? Okay, so that's always in our head as we're getting started with one of these outings or one of our training sessions. And then what we'll do when we first come into the mall is we will sit, which usually when we do outings, I do have my wheelchair. So for me, it's very easy to sit. But we will sit and we will work with the dog right there. We're not going to say, oh, but I have to get to Sephora because they're having a sale. And yesterday, one of our goals was to get to Bath and Body Works because they were having $1 for their little hand sanitizer packs. And they had a newer, well, I hadn't seen it, so I'm going to call it new. But they had a holder that looked like a pink gummy bear. Well, and it was on sale for $2 each. Well, we needed the pink gummy bear and a back holder from Bath and Body Works. But we didn't run there. You know, we didn't run there and say, okay, let's go get this right away. Woohoo, look what we got. Because that's not setting the dogs up for success. If I needed to run in and grab something quickly, I would have left the dog in the car with Rich, or while Rich was potting the dog, I could have run in and got something. But, you know, like, let's be focused on the dog and setting the dog up for success. So We potted the dogs, we went in there, and we just sit, and we see how the dogs are doing. You know, is the dog able to focus on you? And that doesn't mean, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I use the term focus and look at me, or, you know, like a look, but that's, it's not that. And then you'll see people, here's the food. Now I'm going to bring it up to my forehead, right between my eyes. Look at me. And I tell you, I was a child of the 80s and a child of the 90s. And we did that with the L, you know, your finger and your thumb in the shape of an L on your forehead. You know, that means loser. It doesn't mean look at me. Don't do that. Instead, you're bribing. You're not even bribing your dog. You're begging your dog to look at you. That's not how you want to enter into a training session. Instead, if you matter to the dog may just happen to look at you. If the dog looks at you, even if the dog looks at your feet, because we would have dogs who would come in. Because remember, it wasn't always service dogs. We did pet dogs and pet dog board and trains and behavior rehabs. And we'd get some dogs in who were so fearful, nervous, and shut down. They wouldn't look at you in the face. They would only look at your feet or at your shins. And we captured that behavior. So we'd mark it and we'd reward it. And it would get more and it would get more and it would get more. And so then pretty soon they're happy looking at you. You know, they can do that. Makes it easier. But Sorka's doing it with me right now. I could tell her, yes, and I can feed her in room service. Or I could tell her, break, and I can toss her food. And I'm just tossing her a couple kibbles because she's sitting here looking at me. The other dogs are snoozing. We have Otter and Bert and Lita, and I think that's Lucy. And then Sorka's working with me. I don't know where Flounder is. She might be behind my chair. But that's a good girl. Break. And I can toss the food to her. Now Bert's getting up because he wants some of it too. But you just do that with your dog, right? So you have to have, what else do you have to have? We've talked about grading your dog, and we're going to do a whole podcast episode on grading your dog or scoring rubric. But you need to have clear markers, which is going to be another whole podcast. Clear markers. For us, we have a end behavior, come to me and get your food. We have a stay in behavior, the food will come to you. And we have a end behavior, go get the food from over at the training, at the treat and train or the manners minder. So we have all three that we'll use with them. So do you want the dog to continue looking at you while you room service delivery? Or do you want the dog to look away so the dog has to look back at you again? And there's going to be reasons why you might have each. If we're just starting and I want to get a lot of repetitions in, I'm going to release the dog out of behavior so he can find his way back to behavior to set himself up for success. If the dog's doing good with that, I might start extending it out with that room service delivery. So you see how both are necessary? And a lot of people have used the clicker wrong. And they use it as a stay in behavior instead of an end behavior, come to me and get your reward. Okay. So depending on how you're doing that, we will work on the dog looking at me. Because if the dog's not going to look at me, why even train? If the dog's looking at everything else in the world, I'm not going to be able to get his attention. So maybe we need to go to a quieter area. Maybe we need to go back outside. Maybe he's just not ready for the mall yet. But, you know, like, how is the dog doing? What's the dog showing me? Because that's going to determine what we do next, because it is about the dog. And it is all about the dog and how to set that dog up for success, right? We've discussed that a few times already. So after we get some focus from the dog, we might ask for some easy stuff, maybe some two-finger target or target stick. Remember I said we have a target stick in our pouch? There's a reason for that. Target stick. Maybe some retrieves, maybe some oops retrieves or some play with that little toy that I told you we toss in there too. Maybe we'll do some sits or some downs. If those are going well, and I'm not going to say he has to do a down stay while I go away and walk around the whole mall and then I know he's ready. That's silly. Don't do that. But if he's listening, he's doing sits, he's doing down at the level that your dog needs. Now, if you're there with your five-month-old puppy and your friend's meeting up with you and they have a five-year-old service dog who's fully trained, they're going to behave differently. And you cannot score your five-month-old puppy against your friend's five-year-old dog. You can't compare your dog to where your last dog was or where your other dog was. You have to compare your dog now to your dog earlier that same training session or your dog at the last training session, or even where your dog was a week ago if you're looking at improvements on what you need to continue working on. But you could only compare your dog to your dog. It is just not fair to compare your dog to anyone else's dog. Because what they show you during that outing, it isn't always the truth. And it isn't always something that can be compared. Okay? So if your dog's doing well for where your dog is in his training, maybe you'll walk around a little bit and see how your dog does. And that might be, you know, up and down an aisle or around the little area that you're working in, around the fountain or to a fountain and back or to the elevators and back. It's not again, okay, now we can go to Sephora, right? No, you can't. Just hold on. So, you know, your dog's doing well, you're going to take off, you're going to do a walk. So we did a walkabout yesterday and we walked down the bougie area, as I call it, because there's a bunch. There's Hugo Boss, there's Gucci, there's Prada, there's Tiffany, it's all the bougie stores. And so there's not always a ton of people there. And they have the little keep out strips they'll put across the doors. And some of them only have like 5 things in the store because you have to be like so bougie to enter. I guess they have a bougie-o-meter. But anyway, so we walked down there to Bloomingdale's and then we walked back. Well, we ended up over by the elevators where we took the group photo. And so many people at the mall were coming by and watching us and coming by and getting that group photo with us, not getting in the photo, but taking a photo also. But we got a photo and then we walked around a bit. We potted the dogs. We talked and we ate. So like I said, there's some things we're going to change up, but that's usually how we do our training sessions also. We might eat before or after, you know, it depends. But you go, you make sure your dog's setting up for success and doing very well for what we want. And then and only then will we continue with the training. We can't continue until we have a baseline of good. Because if not, you don't have anything to continue on with. And whenever you go to those shops or what have you, if there's a shop that's not terribly busy, that might be a good one to bring your dog into. Yesterday, we wanted to go to Bath and Body Works because I told you we wanted to get the little $1 sanitizer things and we wanted to get the gummy bears, which is a giant gummy bear and it hooks on. So when we're working, part of our working gear is we all wear fanny packs. I told you already what we have in them, but what I didn't mention is we also have a carabiner. At least some of us have carabiners, and we can attach leashes to it. You know, you could attach a dog's water bowl to it. I don't because then I get wet whenever it's wet and that's kind of gross, but I do have my keys attached to it. I have an extra carabiner in case anybody needs it. Say they don't have a hands-free leash and they could use a hands-free leash. So we might use that carabiner and attach their leash to their belt. Or whatever works, right? Like a carabiner is always a good thing to have. And we have the gummy bear hand sanitizer thing. You know, that's attached to it as well. So we wanted to get these gummy bear hand sanitizer things for the 5 of us who had gone, which was me and Ridge and James and Tara and Emily. So we didn't take the dogs in though, because would that be setting them up for success? No, that would not be setting the puppies up for success. That would be setting them up for not success, because it's always so crowded in Bath and Body Works. If it was less crowded, if it was, say, we went on a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday morning, that might be better to say like, okay, cool, let's go and hit up Bath and Body Works first with the puppies, you know, once they're doing well, and then we'll go to the food court afterwards, right? Because we've had them in Bath and Body Works before, but not on a Saturday. Saturdays are very chaotic. So we left, we had 2 pups with us and Bert. So Bert came with us. He's almost 2, you know, he can handle that. But the 2 puppies that we had that were 5 months old, this was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon-ish. So they had been at the mall since 11. They were done. And that's one thing that I do caution people is that was an extremely long outing for them. They had had the day before because we knew that they were coming. They were meeting up with their owners. So they were going to, they had a rest day the day before, an easier day. And then they're having a rest day today, and they'll likely have a rest day tomorrow because it's a lot for them. And we want to make sure, again, that all puppies are set up for success and that they are not overwhelmed, that they're not washed out because of stuff like this, right? We want to take it and grow with it. So that means that they get that, those off times too. So we knew the puppies, taking them out there was not going to be setting them up for success. So when the puppies didn't join us on the walkabout, they remained, I think one of them went on a short walkabout like around the food court and not through, you know, a quarter of the mall. And then they got rest time. While we were eating, they just snoozed at our feet, which was nice. They got cuddle time with their owners, which was also very nice. But we left the pups with James and with Rich. And they brought the pups out to the car and loaded the pups into the car, had the air conditioning running, you know, watered the pups, took the vests off, took the gear off the puppies, which is vest and leash. And the puppies just fell asleep, right? So that's how we'll do. And we've done this before a few times where Rich and James will take the pups out to the car and they're done. And, you know, we'll go over to Bath and Body Works. Like, I'm noticing a pattern here, actually. Like, again, this has happened a few times. But we went over there. We went in. We knew what we wanted. And so the biggest question was what scent. I was going to say flavor, but it is a scent, not a flavor. What scent do we want for the hand sanitizers? And where are the gummy bears? And we got those. And Bert was with me. And then we left. And we looked over at Sephora, which is right across. And I like to stop there because you can sample everything. And I like to touch and I like to see the colors before I purchase anything. So I love to go over to Sephora just to see what they have, to see what on my list I actually like in person versus what I've seen and what looks interesting. I like to go back on their perfume wall and, you know, try some different perfumes and then see how they last through the day, if it's something that I really like or not. And oh my goodness, was that crowded on a Saturday? And Tara's like, oh, we couldn't even get in there. I'm like, we could get in there. We could push our way through, but it's not setting anyone up for success. And there's nothing I needed that bad. So we didn't go over to Sephora at all, even though it was on our list, right? Starbucks, we didn't go to Starbucks at all, even though that's always a fun one too, just because the line for that was out the door. And I'm not about to do that. That's going to take forever. So we, you know, we were done then and we headed home. But how do you set a dog up for success at a mall or at an outing is going to be baby steps. There's a joke I bring up all the time, and I don't think people find it as funny as I find it, but I find it amusing. And it's, how do you eat an elephant? You know, elephants are really big. How do you eat an elephant? If you're going to eat an elephant, you're going to eat them one bite at a time. You know, so that's how do you train a service dog? Is the same way. How do you train a service dog? How do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. You train your service dog in one step at a time. And you want to make sure that your pup gets an A before you move on to the next thing. And if your pup's not getting an A, how can your pup get an A on this outing? You want to start with some easy stuff. Why do we start with the easy stuff? We start with the easy stuff because the more repetitions a dog has, the more success they have, right? The more rewards they get, the more confident they feel, the more they're sure they know what to do in this situation, and the better they're going to do the next time it comes up. So you want to build confidence in a dog, teach him some stuff, and that's the answer. You know, like Sorka's still sitting here looking at me, and I'm just flinging food at her. It's kibble. She's getting maybe two or three kibbles at a time. But she thinks this is the greatest thing ever. And what am I out by doing this? I have food in my pouch already because it's part of our gear. So she can eat the food. And she's like, dude, this is the easiest thing. Vicky's such a sucker. Watch what happens. I look at her. She says yes. And she chucks food at me. Like, what the hell? Really? Like, I'm just looking at you. Okay, I can do this. And she's wagging her tail. Now she's standing up and Bert's up. And now Lucy's looking over at me. And so now we're done. That's all. All done. But Sorka's like, but this was our fun game. And Bert ruined it. And he did. But it's okay. We'll have another game later, Sorka. you know, so if she can succeed with that, well, what's the next step? Look at me. It's going to be some light training stuff. Like I said, the touch, the target, the sit, the down, the oops, retrieve, the play. What's the dog doing? How's the dog responding? That's going good. How about a little walkabout here? A little short. That's going good. Maybe a little longer. Maybe it's time to get a snack for humans. You know, give the dog some time to process everything we've just done. We've had mall trips where we never leave that food court area. We go, we work the puppies, we work the puppies. We don't even get to Bath & Body Works, which is only like four stores away from the food court. I think four. But we don't even get there because we can't, because it's just so much. And when we go there and the pups are a little bit older, it's always nice. We'll open up candles and, you know, depending on how busy they are. And I can smell them, and then I can ask Bert if he wants to smell them, and he can smell them, and he can't lick them because they're candles at Bath & Body Works. And sometimes we have other dogs, like we had Clover until he was, I think, about 7 or 8 months old. So we would ask if Clover wanted to smell the candles also. And it was just, it was really fun. You know, you get to do stuff that you like to do, go to Bath & Body Works, and your dog gets to do stuff that they like to do, like smell the candles. And I enjoy that. And I think they do too. While you're eating, you know, they get to snooze at your feet under the table. They get to learn to ignore all the chaos that's going on around them. All the noise, because it's very loud. That was my big complaint from yesterday was it was very loud because of the people, because of the music playing, because of the echoing and the acoustics. It was difficult to hear people. Like we'd instruct on something and people 4 foot behind us couldn't hear a word of what we were saying. So we learned from that and what we're going to do for whatever your service dog skill or foundation skill or training that we want to work on next time. We're going to drop a video beforehand to send to people so they're not reliant on waiting for us to give them the information there and then not being able to hear them. So it'll be a little different setup for our August one, but we do have the date scheduled. I have not officially announced it yet because I just haven't, but it'll be again at the Millennium Mall, at the food court. We'll meet there again because it was a good chaotic place to meet up. I enjoyed it. Like I said, we're going to have a little different setup for next time, but, it was really nice. It was great seeing people. Some of our friends came, like I said, some of our professional trainer friends came, and it was nice because we got to introduce some of the different people that we've been wanting to kind of introduce, and that's always nice in person. So while I joke that while we're Hope Service Dogs, it seems like we should change the name to Hope Service Dogs and BFFs because people find their best friends, you know, through interactions with us, which is pretty awesome. The dogs all did amazing. I don't think that any dogs had accidents or had issues. So it was a huge roaring success, which made me so happy. So if you're interested in joining us on our next service dog adventures, go ahead and keep an eye out for our social media. We're going to have a way for you to respond and sign up for it, just so we know who to expect and we can communicate if anything changes. You know, say last minute something happens and we need to reach out to you. We need to know who's expected. But like I said, it'll be in Orlando again at the Millennium Mall. And it's open to everybody. Even if you don't have a dog from us, even if you've never trained with us before, you are welcome to come to our service dog adventure. As a 501c3 nonprofit, this is part of our mission and part of our way to give back to the community, to the service dog community, and to the businesses, really. Because think about it, would you want to have service dogs who had never been to an outing before like that? Or would you rather have dogs who have been with us a few times and know what to do when they're out in public? And whenever we're there, you also have the ability to ask questions. You know, if Sam or Ray are here, I'll drag them along. But, you know, me and Rich and Tara and Emily and James were there. So it was really awesome. I'm really glad we were able to go. You could check us out at hopeservicedogs.org. That's our website. We have our podcast here, Service Dog Success. We have Instagram. Oh, and Threads now. We have Facebook, we have YouTube, and we have TikTok. And all of our links can be found on our link tree, which is Hope SD. Okay. Hope Service Dogs, Hope SD, because I wanted a shorter handle for Linktree, and that's linktr.ee/HOPESD, as in service dog. But this is Victoria, and I hope you have a fantastic week, and I will catch you next time.